Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are back for Season 3 and excited for that, excited to be able to start another book of the Bible. This one's going to be a little bit different. The last two books we've done have been more of a kind of a doctrinal letters that we've done. Mm-hmm. This one is going to be a narrative because we're going to do one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark, in fact, and because it is a narrative, we're going to probably not just be doing a verse or two every day, but like a little segment of each throughout as we go through the book. So probably sometimes 3, 4, maybe 8, 10, 12 verses in just a few minutes. So we probably won't read them like we have previously when we were just covering one or two verses. But we would encourage you to go back and study and read through. But we're going to spend the first 4 or so episodes in our study of Mark kind of talking about the big picture of what's going on in this gospel and who is writing it and some of those kinds of things, and just try to give an introduction of this gospel.
Yeah, so we're going to start this section of introduction and introductory material kind of discussing, first of all, who Mark is, or John Mark, as he's sometimes referred to. But who is who is John Mark?
Well, we know that he is the son of Mary. Acts 12:12 tells us that whenever Peter escaped out of prison with the help of an angel, that's where he went, where they were praying for Peter while he was there shortly after James had been put to death, and that's where apparently was Peter was heading for. Mm-hmm. He was the cousin of Barnabas. We find that out in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Of course, Barnabas, Joseph is really his name, but given that nickname, Barnabas, son of consolation or son of encouragement. And so he had quite the lineage there, I guess you'd say, the family connection. As you said, he's also known as John Mark. There's the thought, if you would, be turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Of course, we studied 1 Peter, but 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13 kind of gives us the hint, at least, that he was converted by Peter. If not, he was at least closely associated with Peter. So if you would read that for us.
Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, and so does my son Mark."
Okay, so, you know, kind of like we've talked about before with Paul and Timothy, he considered Timothy his son in the faith. Him calling him his son probably, maybe, means at least that you know, he was converted by Peter, and that's the way he thought of him. He was at least very closely associated with Peter, and you can see that in Acts chapters 11 and 12 in particular. But it's also interesting to note that the connection that he had with Paul and Barnabas, and kind of one of the more familiar stories between Paul and Barnabas that went along because of Mark.
Yeah, the time that they didn't get along as well. We talk about how they were closely related and all that, but you know, there's you know, if you look at their disagreement and how that they decided to split up in the middle of that missionary journey, you look at that geographically, and there's probably a whole section of the world that got the gospel a whole lot sooner had they not split up. So, kind of speaks to God using multiple kinds of circumstances to do his will. But there was there's relationship between Mark and Barnabas and Paul in that they're sharing the gospel together. They're going through these missionary journeys together. You know, Paul eventually kind of changes his opinion as he gets older on Mark and how that he is of service to him. So that relationship continues. It doesn't just end over that one instance.
Yeah, and the instance that Gary's talking about is, of course, Barnabas and Mark, John Mark, went with Paul on his first missionary journey. And in chapter 13 and verse 5, it says that he went with them as a helper. But down in verse 13 of Acts 13, it says that John Mark decided to return home. And doesn't really tell us why that he went back to Jerusalem. It just tells us that he did. Maybe it was because he was younger and he was overwhelmed. Maybe it was because of, you know, he was just homesick and, you know, whatever. But for whatever reason, he did. Well, whenever Paul and Barnabas are preparing to go on their second missionary journey, Paul decided he didn't want John Mark to go with them. And that's what caused this contention between the two of them that Garrett is alluding to. Mm-hmm. And so that's why Paul went his way. Barnabas went his way. Barnabas brought John Mark with him. And then Paul took Silas with him on his second missionary journey. But later on, as you said, he does change his opinion of him. Garrett, if you would turn over to Philemon, verse 24, there's a couple of different places that he talks about his opinion of him. And again, this kind of goes back. This would be a good time to insert, but we're not going to insert a great lesson about Barnabas and what little we know about Barnabas. He was always encouraging people and how that he didn't give up on John Mark. Paul should have recognized that too, of course. Paul was the one that, when he came to Jerusalem, Barnabas was the only one that wasn't scared of him and took him in, what stood up for him or whatever. But he does for John Mark, and that confidence seems to be well placed because later on, Paul is going to write some very kind things about him and describe his description of him. So this is one of the prison epistles that Paul wrote, and whenever he gets to this point in his life that he's writing about Philemon, not Philippians, sorry. You're supposed to hear what I mean, not what I say. I may have said Philippians, but anyway, when he gets to this point later on, he recognizes what an asset that he really is. And so in Philemon, verse 24, he's going to describe him. He's also going to, in when he's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he asks Timothy to bring John Mark with him because he was useful to me. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. But if you would read Philemon in verse 24.
It says, "As do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers."
Okay, so he describes him as a fellow worker, but he also puts him into a category of some
fellow prisoners.
Well, and some guys that are really important, you know, like Luke, that we read about several times. So when he tells Timothy to bring Mark with him, we don't know where, he didn't tell him where Mark is at that time, but probably he's somewhere in either in Rome or between Ephesus and Rome. The guess would be that he was at Rome with Peter at that time, but that's what some of the early church writers would say anyway. But that connection of those individuals tells us that John Mark was running with some pretty important company during that time and was very much an influential part of the church leadership during that first century.
Yeah, he was one that that came along later as far as Jesus' life, but once he did, he was one that was, you know, right there in spreading the gospel and making sure that he was doing everything he could to make sure that was known as well.
Yep, and it's one of those that we wish we knew more about John Mark, but we don't know just a ton about his background. But what we do know about him would indicate that he was someone who was very familiar with what was going on in the movement that was following Jesus after his death, burial, and resurrection. And even we'll talk about later on in this book, maybe there's a glimpse of Mark there. We're not told that it's him, but maybe it is. We'll talk about that on down the road. But for now, we're going to pause our introduction to Mark, and we'll come back tomorrow and talk about kind of an overview of the book and the structure of it and that type of thing. We hope that you will be here with us. We hope that you'll like, share, subscribe, tell others about Scripture Spotlight, do whatever, you know, wherever you get your podcasts, to make sure that you receive these every day. We hope that you'll dedicate 5 to 10 minutes every day with us as we dive into God's Word and hear the Gospel of Mark and try to find out more about Jesus. We hope that you will join us on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.